Carlo Corretto is one of my favorite Catholic personalities of the 20th century. He was born in Italy around the city of Turin and grew in his Catholic faith, influenced by his home parish staffed with Salesian priests. He joined Catholic Action in his teens, becoming the president of Italy Catholic Action for Young Adults. And like Catholic Action here in America, this group worked to influence the Italian political situation through their Catholic experience. Now, eventually, Corretto heard a call to join the Little Brothers of Jesus, a religious order made famous by Charles de Foucauld, martyred in the early 1900s in North Africa and beatified by Benedict XVI. So Corretto moved from Italy to North Africa himself to join the brothers and to live the monastic life there for 12 years before returning back to Italy to start a monastery for the Little Brothers of Jesus just outside of Assisi, where he died at 78. Now this week, by total chance, I came across one of Corretto's books, Letters from the Desert. I highly recommend this. Letters from the Desert by Carlo Corretto. It's a short collection of reflections written while he was a monk in North Africa. And in the book, he tells of a time when he suffered a serious injury to his leg in an accident. And because he was in such a remote part of the Sahara Desert, it took the doctor 8 days to get to him to care for this injury, which ended up leaving Corretto with a limp for the rest of his life. And he tells in this book of lying in the infirmary of an abandoned desert fort in the extreme heat with his leg in excruciating pain and the thoughts that came to his mind. How insignificant he felt. How helpless he felt. How impossible his situation was. And he wrote this: "There are moments in our lives when God makes us feel the extreme limits of our powerlessness. Then and only then can we really begin to understand our nothingness." "I had fought against this for many years," Corretto explains, "but now in this old abandoned fort in the middle of the desert, for some reason, I'm finally able to accept this. And now I lay powerless in the presence of God's powerfulness." Now, I mentioned that I came across this book, Letters from the Desert, and this chapter titled The God of the Impossible, quite by accident, because I was intending to preach this famous story of the multiplication of the loaves and fish like most priests and deacons would preach it, as a foreshadowing of the Mass. This miracle as Jesus looks up to heaven and blesses the bread and then gives it to the apostles to distribute, it's like Mass in miniature. I was going to preach on how we are the people on the grassy hillside, and every Mass, Jesus multiplies the bread and wine, and we all rejoice in the sustaining nature of God. But as I read this chapter by Corretto, The God of the Impossible, as I read this chapter, a couple of lines from the Gospel jumped out at me as the most telling part of the miracle, even more telling than the miracle itself. It was the little story within the story of Philip and Andrew. You could almost hear Philip now. Oh, no. 200 days' wages worth of food won't be enough to give these people just a little bit, Lord. And then Andrew chimes in. Oh, 5 loaves and 2 fish, Lord. What good are they for so many? Now, I know The multiplication itself is important, and we should never forget Jesus' care for his people with abundance. But Philip and Andrew, for me at least, they're the most interesting part of the story. And Coretto's experience of his own powerlessness in the very midst of God's powerfulness is what Philip and Andrew and you and me come to realize every time we encounter the miracle of the Eucharist. I want you to think about this. Powerlessness over and against powerfulness. Now, for sure, we should always read the Gospels as they are. Real events written down by people of faith for people of faith to bolster their faith. We can't make the Gospels into something that they are not. But once we've properly placed the passage into the context in which it was written, we must put ourselves in the story. Philip and Andrew, they're you and me and Carlo Coretto. How often do we worry that it just won't be enough? That's like our whole life, right? Oh, Lord, it's never going to be enough. How often are we worried that we will be left wanting? How often are we worried that our powerlessness will be our demise? This little scene with Philip and Andrew within the bigger scene of Jesus' multiplication is really a play on our human condition. We almost always approach life from a place of scarcity rather than a place of abundance. I mean, we always approach life from a perspective that we won't have enough money. So we hold on tight to what little we have. We're forever burdened by the fear of never having enough success. So we struggle celebrating others' success. We fear never having enough joy. So we can't quite fully rejoice when others are joyful. And we end up relying solely on ourselves to fill the emptiness with cheap imitations of God. And this happens to us over and over and over again in our lives. At least it happens to me. So I suspect if it happens to me, it might happen to some of you. Listen to Coretto as he continues his thoughts lying there waiting for the doctor. He writes, "The meeting between God's totality and our nothingness is the greatest wonder of creation." This is an incredible line. I'm going to read it to you again. "The coming together of God's totality and our nothingness is the greatest wonder of creation." Really, it's the truth of God and humanity, he says. Again, think about Philip and Andrew, our stand-ins in the story. They are literally in the presence of God's totality, the miracle of feeding 5,000. And they come to that totality with their nothingness, their inability to see that God will be enough for them and 5,000. Coretto continues, "The acceptance of this situation between us and God, it comes with humility. That without humility, there's no truth. And without truth, there's no humility. He has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden," Mary said, "when she accepted her nothingness." How wonderful, explains Coretto, that Mary's nothingness would attract God's everythingness. This is what Jesus' ministry should be all about. With the humanity of the apostles, Philip and Andrew, it was all about what ministry was for them, and it should be all about what ministry is for us. How wonderful, this is what you and I ought to say in our prayer. How wonderful, Lord, that our nothingness could actually attract your everything. This is spirituality. This is our story. This is why, of course, we see Mary as the perfect saint. She is what we want to be, but struggle to be. What Philip and Andrew wanted to be, but struggled to be, even though they were in the very presence of the everything God and in the very presence of their nothingness. Mary herself sees the miracle as the fullness that fills her nothingness. I'm going to repeat that. Miracles, that's what happens in 14 minutes on this altar. Miracles are the fullness that fills our nothingness. And if we're willing to admit it, we do tell the Lord, "Oh, I don't think it's going to be enough, Lord." Ultimately, the goal of the spiritual life, the goal of holiness, is to one day finally be able to say, "Well, actually, yes, Lord, you are enough. Even though I don't understand you, you are all that I need." See, this is Philip and Andrew's story. This is our story. Jesus says, "Let's feed them." And Philip and Andrew, you and me, we say, "Oh, no, no, Lord, that'll never work. It will never be enough." And Jesus says, "I am enough." This miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish, it seems so ridiculous and implausible to them at first glance, it ends up being overabundant. And it not only feeds them, the apostles, but it feeds 5,000 people, and there's even some left over at the end. This is a microcosm. This is the whole of the Christian journey wrapped up into a single moment in time on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. This story is all of it wrapped up in one short passage. Coretto went on to conclude in his reflection, and I'll leave this with us today. Think about your life. Think about Philip and Andrew. Think about how many times you and I say, "Oh man, Lord, it's not going to be enough." Coretto says this: "God can do everything, and I can do nothing. So my prayer is to always offer this nothing to God, and in doing so, everything becomes possible with God. The God of the impossible will never ignore our cry." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.